Hello again, and welcome to Holistish, the holistic health podcast where we discuss holistic health, we discuss wellness, and we discuss beauty, all while having a healthy dose of skepticism. I'm Jenna.
And I'm Sierra.
And let's get into it. Sierra, what are we going to be talking about today?
This is hilarious to me. So today we're going to be talking about ancient grains. And for some reason, every time I hear that, I think of Bigfoot. For some reason, I'm not quite sure.
Ancient aliens.
Yes.
You know what sound Bigfoot makes?
What?
Did you think it was going to be a joke?
Yes, I thought it was going to be something. But also, Bigfoot eats quinoa, so makes sense.
Yeah, I could buy that. I used to watch Finding Bigfoot on the Discovery Channel all the time.
I know you did.
Let's not judge me. When you're a young closeted lesbian, you'll watch anybody you can to see another lesbian.
I forgot about that girl.
Yeah, that lady. Hey, Renee.
She's doing good. Yeah.
Love you, girl.
Wow.
But they used to say that Bigfoot would go, hey. Yeah. So they would try to call Bigfoot, but like, they're going, hey.
I do remember that. What a strange time that was.
Oh, don't worry. I think that show is still on.
It probably is.
Okay, before we get into ancient grains, we have to talk about our holistic news. Okay, so for this week's holistic news, I'm going to tell you about coffee scrubs and cellulite. Raise your hand if you have cellulite.
Who doesn't?
Everyone raise your hand, or you're lying.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. I didn't used to have it, but then I turned into an adult, and it's totally normal, and I'm here for it. So, have you ever used a coffee scrub, Sierra?
No, I haven't.
Really? Okay, so me neither, but Annie bought one, and it's in our shower, and it's like for your face, I guess, or I don't know, really anywhere. But you can also make them yourself, apparently, which I don't know about all that. It feels like rubbing trash all over you, but...
Can it go down your shower drain?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's biodegradable.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's not, like, microplastic. Remember when they had to ban, like, the beaded gel face washes?
Oh. That's hilarious.
R.I.P. Okay. Fish. Okay, yeah. So, but for real, that was a big problem. I'm glad somebody stopped it. Wish we could ban other things that kill things. Okay, anyway. Okay, coffee scrub.
No, the little plastic balls, top of our priority.
In an unrelated note, I really wish that... So, the next place that I'm moving into, it has a bathtub. So, praise the bathroom gods. I want those little beads that squirt bath oils.
Yes, that's the height of luxury.
Do they still make those? Because I really
think they do.
I see them on TikTok, and I say, I used to just, like, I would be impatient and, like, squirt them out. I would, like, popping a zit, and I couldn't let them just dissolve. Anyway, back to coffee scrubs. Okay, so a coffee scrub is exactly what it sounds like. It's a scrub for your skin, and it's made out of coffee grounds. So... Everybody's like, oh, coffee scrubs are great, or oh, coffee scrubs don't work. I feel like there's a spectrum, you know?
Okay.
So the thing about a coffee scrub, it's like, oh, it's going to be really good because it has caffeine and antioxidant contact, or because it has caffeine and antioxidant content, and it's supposed to be good for your skin when you put it on topically, of course. We all know that coffee taken internally has all kinds of other benefits, but that's another show. Or another episode, rather. But this article says, like, we don't really know if caffeine and antioxidants necessarily help with cellulite.
Okay.
So, Sierra, what is cellulite? It's little dimples in your skin, and it affects most women and some men. I would say most women and most men. Unless you're, like, Hulk Hogan, maybe? It's only him.
Interesting.
So, the dimples develop when fatty tissues under your skin press against tissues closer to the skin's surface. I didn't know that. I don't know what cellulite is, but this article taught me what it is. So, apparently it occurs a lot in like where fatty tissues are. So like your thighs, your butt. I have it in my thighs and my butt. Where else could it be? Maybe not like maybe your stomach sometimes, maybe. Maybe not so much your arms though. I don't know. It can be anywhere. So once you have it, it's really hard to get rid of. So I say stop putting so much pressure on it, you people. But okay.
Yeah, agree.
It's like, oh my God, I have a freckle. Who cares? You can't get rid of it,
Seriously.
but like, who cares? Like, cellulite should be the same way. But anyway. So, coffee scrubs say they might be able to help you achieve like decreasing the appearance of dimples and cellulite. Yeah. So, like, you're always going to have wide pores, but the coffee scrub helps like decrease the appearance. I mean, not wide, but you know, visible. I have visible pores, so I'm not here to call out anyone. So, according to this article, it's thought that caffeine and coffee can help dilate blood vessels and reduce the appearance of skin dimples. So, the
Interesting.
skin also might tighten from the stimulating effects of caffeine by improving blood flow and eliminating excess water. So, the antioxidants in coffee are also thought to help promote overall healthier skin tone. Apparently, there's phenols, which are plant-based chemicals that are thought to ward off free radicals in the body. Oh my God, remember free radicals?
Yeah,
Oh,
free articles.
never forget free radicals. Oh my God. According to the American Society for Dermatological Surgery, the massaging action of like scrubbing the coffee scrub into you can assist lymphatic drainage and stretch skin tissue to improve cellulite's appearance. So like it's possible. You're not going to get rid of cellulite, but you might be able to reduce the appearance of it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I feel like the act of just, we should talk about this again, or we should talk about this on another episode with like dry brushing or just using any scrub. The fact that you are doing a lymphatic massage essentially in that area within itself, I think reduces the appearance of cellulite. So, like whether or not the coffee part helps, definitely the scrub in general apparently helps with the appearance, you know?
So apparently a study found that when combined with retinol, carnitine, and other ingredients, a caffeine was found to
Ooh.
increase thickness of the epidermis.
Okay.
So those effects were achieved with a cosmetic product that had caffeine in it, not necessarily coffee.
Okay.
So like I guess
Okay.
the thickening of the epidermis would, what is that, like plump your skin or whatever?
Yeah, I was actually trying to look. What's in the Brazilian bum bum cream? There
Ooh.
has to be caffeine in this, right? I think that's part of their claim. Oh, yeah. Brazilian bum bum cream contains an all powerful, caffeine rich guarana extract to help visibly tighten the appearance of skin. So, yeah, caffeine is in Brazilian bum bum cream. Interesting.
Like that checks out to me.
Yeah, checks out.
And then just lastly, there was one more study on a different cosmetic cream than the one with like the retinol and all that. It had caffeine also, and it yielded reduced cellulite and circumference. But again, there was not any coffee in the product, says this article. So like it's possible
Okay.
that coffee scrubs could
Bless
help
you.
cellulite, but there hasn't actually been a study done on it. So let's do it together. No, I'm just kidding. I don't
Yeah.
care enough.
No, that's actually really interesting. Like, I'm definitely gonna try that.
Yeah, it's just so you can make, I don't remember what ours is called, but we got it at Ulta. You can make coffee scrub with like used coffee grounds, like after you brew coffee. People total like you know how you can like fertilize your plants with that too, apparently, or some shit. You can also just like use it, which is why I was like, I feel like I'm rubbing trash on my body. Huh. Yeah, so the jury's out forever.
But I buy it
Yeah,
personally.
same.
Yeah. What a great little article. Okay. So now we are moving on to the topic of ancient grains. And again, this is more of just like a chattier portion of the episode where we're going to kind of give a little bit of background, because I'm not super familiar with ancient grains, and just kind of like going over our opinion
Yeah,
of
you're
them.
probably someone who's like, I've had all ancient grains, but let me tell you, there's some that I haven't even ever heard of. But we're gonna talk about them, so.
Exactly. Okay, I can do a little bit of intro and then we can kind
Yeah.
of, if you want to like look at some of the things too. So I wanted to know what exactly are the ancient grains and what health benefits do they have, essentially. So I found this article that detailed 12 healthy ancient grains, and I will go over them and pronounce them horribly.
No, you
So
won't. It'll be perfect.
essentially,
But wait, are you gonna say what ancient grains are? Okay.
yes. So ancient grains are a group of grains and something called pseudo cereals that are, I know, right? Isn't that
Yeah.
funny? So they are grains that have essentially remained unchanged for thousands of years. So these grains are staples in certain parts of the world, such as China, India, Africa, and the Middle East. And it's said that these grains are less processed, so they potentially have more vitamins, minerals, and fiber than other grains that we are more familiar with, like rice and modern wheat. So let's go over some of the ancient grains. I will give you 12 of them. Keep track
Take
of how
notes.
much you have had.
We can play Never Have I Ever.
I never have I ever ancient grains.
Put a finger down if you've had
If you
amaranth.
have you heard of this one? I have
I
not
have
heard
heard
of
of
this one.
amaranth. It is
Okay.
amaranth is a pseudo cereal, and it's like starchy little seeds. So
Okay.
it's
Yeah.
gluten free, which is great.
Yeah.
I think I've only had it like once at a fancy restaurant or something.
Like a Michelin star
Yeah,
restaurant.
literally.
Nice.
And apparently like it was a staple food for the Aztecs. And they used it in like religious
Ooh.
ceremonies. And I guess
Ancient
when the
grain.
conquistadors came, they like banned it.
Huh.
But the plant has been growing like a weed, so its genetic base has been largely maintained. So, like, they didn't get rid of it.
Interesting.
So, that's why it's an ancient grain. But yeah, it's like a little weedy. You can get it in health food shops. I feel like they don't sell it at like normal stores. And apparently, they make it in Mexico and they make it like a candy called Alegría for joy. Alegría, yeah. And you can pop it like popcorn.
Interesting.
But it's not something that I have had a lot.
Okay.
So that's the first one.
Number two is millet. I have had this one. I feel like it's in granola bars sometimes. This fact or this list is saying it's in bird seed.
Yeah, it is. It's in bird seed. Like, you know, the standard, like, basic Walmart bird seed. It's totally in there, I feel
Yeah.
like. It's like
Yeah.
the little like balls, like the little
Pebblies.
yellow
Yeah.
balls in the.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And this one's also gluten-free.
Yes. So millet is supposed to be good for like lowering inflammation and reducing
Okay.
heart disease risk. So like if you don't like Honey Nut Cheerios, then just have millet.
Have some bird seed.
Yes, gluten-free millet. You can get it online or like a health store again. I
Yeah.
don't see it as often, so.
Yeah. Okay. Number three, have never heard of this in my life.
I haven't had this one. It's called kamut.
Okay.
But it's also called Khorasan wheat kamut. It's got a lot of fiber. I guess it's like they found it in, or there's like legends of it being found in Egyptian tombs, which is kind of cool. Very ancient.
Kamut lore.
Yeah. So kamut does have gluten, so you're not going to want to have it if you're celiac or gluten intolerant or whatever. It's got like a nutty texture and People put it in like soups and stuff. I've never had it though.
Neither have I.
And I haven't seen it in stores. I think you can get it online or like in specialty health food stores. So that's one we should definitely try. Yeah.
Number four is sorghum. I have not had this one, but I used to live by a restaurant called Sorghum and Salt.
Which really? Is interesting.
Yeah. So sorghum is supposed to be really high in antioxidants, which is unique. And it is also naturally gluten-free. It can be easily ground into flour for gluten-free baking, which is interesting.
Yeah. And, like, I think they make some alcohol out of it. I don't know which, oh, though. See, a lot of these can be, because they're not wheats, but they are grain-type things, yeah. Ancient grains. I think they can be made into, like, grain alcohol. I don't know, though. But nice. This one, I know I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Again, sorghum's got the antioxidants. Mm-hmm. They're killing the free radicals. And it's gluten-free, like you said. So that's good, because the more gluten-free, like, flour options we can play around with to get textures right and all that.
Agree.
All right, what about the next one? We'll blow right through them.
Yeah, never heard of this one. Teff.
I haven't had this one.
Sounds like
I've
Jeff.
Heard of it. This is Teff.
Jeff from accounting.
This is my daughter, Teff. So Teff is like the size of poppy seeds. It is teeny, 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 tiny. And it can be like white or red or dark brown. And it's from like Ethiopia.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like a staple in their cuisines. And I bet it's freaking awesome. But I just haven't found anywhere where I could get it.
Yeah.
It's apparently really high in iron and magnesium. And it has vitamin C, which is like not like most grains don't have that. So
Okay.
And our bodies don't make vitamin C, as we learned.
Number six is frika. I don't know if we're saying that correctly, but it's a staple in Middle Eastern cuisine. It's said to have a texture kind of like brown rice. It's really versatile in things like soup, stews, and casseroles. But this one does contain gluten, so be careful, people with celiac disease.
Yeah, and it's kind of chewy like brown rice. So, probably gonna also find that one in a specialty grocery store.
Yeah.
But I say we need to, like, we're trying to bring more awareness to these things. Seriously. They're really good for you. Yeah. Apparently. You know this next one.
Oh, do you want me to do it? Okay.
Yeah.
Number seven is farro, which I think both of us have had, right?
Yeah, I think we had it together. Didn't we go to a restaurant called farro?
Yes. So farro is high in antioxidants, like polyphenols. It's also really high in protein and fiber. This one does contain gluten, and you can add it to things like salads and soups. Yeah, this one's pretty, like, I would say basic as well. Like, not super, like, it's really versatile as well.
Yeah, I feel like farro and millet are kind of similar, but farro has gluten. Yeah. Also, farro is a lot more popular. Like, Bob's Red Mill makes it.
Yeah.
Like, you can buy it. Bob. You know what I mean? Like, our boy Bob and his Red Mill.
Seriously.
And then, like, the next one, barley. We've all heard of barley, right? Yeah. Barley makes beer. Barley makes Bud Light.
Oh, my God.
So, barley is going to be, like, a pretty big grain, and it's, like, the most widely consumed one of all of these for Americans, which, like, checks out because, Bud Light, yeah, America. So, it's affordable, it's really available, it's not gluten-free, so beware. You can make it as like a side dish. Again, I mostly consume it in beer. Nice. I have never had it like as its original form.
In
I
the raw. Like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's your favorite one, I know.
The next one. Everyone knows it. It's quinoa. I don't even think we need to cover it. It's gluten-free. This is probably the one I think that's most widely available. You can easily see it in your grocery store. Moving on.
Quinoa. Yes. And then we have bulgur, or cracked wheat. Mm-hmm. It kind of looks like savory oatmeal, I would say.
Yes.
So bulgur is going to be a staple food in Middle Eastern cuisine, and it's got high fiber content, which is also great. But it does have gluten. So we're probably going about half and half here. Actually, I think a little bit more of these have gluten than not,
Probably.
unfortunately. But they are grains, so I should have seen that coming. So bulgur is usually sold parboiled, so like you can make it really fast, which is cool. Our next one is going to be rye, which I know I love to consume in whiskey.
So rye is a member of the wheat family, but it's said to have fewer carbs and more vitamins and minerals than wheat. It also has a higher fiber content, so it's said to alleviate constipation. And again, it is not gluten-free.
No, rye whiskey can't have it. Potato vodka can have it. Other whiskeys, yes. As far as gluten goes. Okay, so the next one is called Fonio. I think that's how I'm saying it correctly. It's like a millet, and it's widely consumed in West African countries. Blah, blah. Fonio is a millet, and it's widely consumed in West African countries. So this one is gonna be like pretty standard. It's got a lot of magnesium and copper and zinc, and it's got resistant starch. Hello, gut garden. So it's not really in the US, so you gotta buy it online. So I've never had it, but it's gluten free, and it can be cooked like as a couscous type texture is what we're gonna find. So couscous is not gluten free, but fonio is. Much like farro is not gluten free, but millet is. There seems to be like a counterpart to most of these that's gluten free.
Interesting. So, how many of the 12 ancient
Let's
grains have you
see.
had? I think I've had
I've
four.
had one, two, three, four, five, six, seven of them.
Nice. Oh my God. Ancient grain
But still only
expert.
barely passing. I mean, I'm not passing. I got less, more, a little more than 50%. I failed.
So before we get into more information on our opinions, I just wanted to touch a little bit on nutritional claims for ancient grains because I feel like it's a bit hit or miss. Some people are really for it, some people say it's kind of gobbledygook. So people that are for ancient grains say that they are rich in protein, omega-3 fatty acids, and antioxidants. And some nutritionists feel that they are not necessarily more healthy than other grains, and that ancient and modern grains have similar health benefits, when we're talking about eating them as kind of whole grains, if that makes sense. So some people feel that this is kind of like a marketing ploy, the whole labeling of things as ancient grains, and somehow that they're more or less processed, I guess you could say. So again,
Yeah, like Ezekiel
just
bread.
something to keep in mind, like, is it truly that they're more nutritious? Is it marketing? Is it somewhere in between? But just wanted to point out that there's not a consensus on if these grains are necessarily better than like a whole wheat pasta or brown rice, you know?
Right, it's the fact that these grains are from different cultures, and Americans are fucking stupid. I mean, for the most
Oh
part.
no.
So you're like, ooh, exotic, like Farro or whatever. And people are like, I invented quinoa or whatever. You know
Quinoa.
what I mean? Like, it's like, I'm really here for the exposure to different types of cuisine from different cultures. So that's the exciting part about it. But
That's
yeah.
what I think too, but again, is it worth it? Not is it worth it, but it's not like you are gonna get some kind of crazy health benefit from these grains that you aren't getting with like brown rice. It's just
Right. But if you're like trying to mix it up,
Mix it up.
which like, how have you consumed your ancient grains?
So I think you and I are the most experienced with quinoa, probably. So I've been using that for a while, and I usually use it when I'm making like Mexican-inspired dishes. You could use it in a burrito bowl instead of rice, something like that. I know there's also recipes to make. I call it taco slop. That's probably not the best sounding. You
Excuse
mix like
me?
quinoa, beans, corn, like enchilada sauce or salsa, kind of all together, and then you eat it with chips. It's pretty good.
That
It's
sounds
pretty
amazing.
good.
Taco
Yeah.
slop. Love it. Here for it.
But then I know that you gave me a Green Chef coupon, and they send so many ancient grains. So if I've had bulgur, quinoa, what's another one? Maybe they sent me sorghum,
Which.
but they've incorporated it into their dishes as well, which is really cool.
Did you just get like the normal
I think I
menu?
got vegetarian. I think that's why they gave that to
Oh,
me.
okay. Because we're on the paleo
Okay.
one, and so they don't really send them because of the gluten, I
Oh,
guess.
okay.
They have sent some of the gluten-free
Yeah.
ones, but typically we're the Green Chef, God love them. You have to pick paleo and like keto, which I don't want to be keto, but I want to be
Okay.
paleo. So often we're just eating rice cauliflower,
Okay.
which is fine. And it's
Yeah.
good, but I don't get the grains from them as much, which
So from
sucks.
them, I actually got a bulgur, Asian-inspired lettuce wrap, which was really good. So
Yum.
again, I think it's a great way to kind of substitute meat in some of the cases if you are vegetarian or vegan. And I do feel like it keeps you fuller than if I were to make, a wrap out of just rice or something, if that makes sense.
Yeah, or like a bowl of
Yeah.
pasta
Yeah.
with butter
Yeah.
and
Oops.
parmesan.
Oops. That's good
And
too.
then you're
That's
hungry one
good
second
too.
later. I know,
I
but then you're
know.
hungry like 1 hour
I
later.
know.
Yeah, it's good. Whew, that sounds good with some red
I
pepper
know.
flakes. Ugh.
And then one time I did make sweet quinoa and it was not for me. I tried to make it
I'm sorry, what? Like
like
dessert
oatmeal.
hummus?
It wasn't great, but I think some people like it.
Oh no,
Yeah.
thank you. I'm sure
Yeah.
it's fine, but I haven't had it. Just the way you're not
Yeah,
really selling
it
it very
wasn't
well.
good, if I'm being honest. It was
Okay.
nasty.
All right.
And I think another good way to incorporate ancient grains, which I've done in the past, is just really easy. You get some type of protein, so a chicken, a veggie, and then an
Yeah.
ancient grain on the side. That's something else that I do a
Yeah.
lot. What about you?
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was
Yeah.
gonna say. It's really good to like make like a veggie
Mm-hmm.
bowl, quinoa. You could use any of these
Yeah.
grains, like quinoa base or farro base or
Mm-hmm.
whatever, and then put a bunch of veggies and a
Yeah.
protein.
Okay.
Hold, please. Test, 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 test.
Okay.
Okay, we're good. So yeah, like I think that people with like health issues or maybe diabetes or like wanting to be healthy, like this is can be a good like switch it up
Yeah.
option because these things are so good for like blood sugar or high blood pressure and stuff like that, heart disease, things like
Yeah.
that. But they are harder to come by, most of
They are
them.
harder to come by,
So
yeah.
because of that, that's gonna make them like more
Yeah, I agree
expensive,
with that.
unfortunately.
And so have you noticed any benefits of eating ancient grains over regular grain, modern grains, should we say?
Yeah, actually, I feel like when I eat quinoa or
Yeah.
farro or something, it definitely I'm
Yeah.
fuller longer than if I eat white
Yes.
rice. Brown rice, maybe slightly longer, but
Yeah.
quinoa, definitely. I can eat like a
Yeah.
little palm-sized thing of quinoa and I'm like good to
Yeah.
go.
I would say the same. It definitely, I feel like some of them keep me fuller longer. And then something else that I wanted to talk about that could be a positive or a benefit is I think plain, some of the ancient grains don't taste great. They taste a little
No.
earthy, they taste a little
Oh.
dirty.
So how do you make your
Yes,
quinoa?
okay.
Because I learned how to make it
Okay,
better. And I don't know if you already make it the right
if
way.
I am not in a pinch, I do use veggie or chicken stock, and you have to flavor it. So that could be a positive or a benefit because plain, I don't think the ancient grains taste as good as just, like boiling a pot of pasta. But they kind of take up whatever flavor you put in them, so that could be a positive that they soak up the flavor.
I feel like cooking any of them in stock is going to be a better life
Yes, I
choice.
agree.
That helps them a lot because they're just kind of starchy, pretty plain. Throw some garlic in there, even more antioxidants, you know?
I do think,
So.
again, for someone who maybe doesn't have a lot of seasonings or, you don't have chicken stock, I don't know if it's gonna taste as great, but yeah, again,
You can throw some butter in your quinoa.
yeah,
That's
the
good
other
too.
side of it is you can really make it any flavor you want. Again, I always see Asian bowls, like Mexican inspired bowls, like Middle Eastern inspired bowls, and they use different types of ancient grains, so they're really versatile, which is great.
So would you recommend ancient
I
grains?
think I would recommend trying them out. What do you think?
I think it's always good to
I
try new
agree.
stuff. These things are very healthy for you. It's obvious across many different cultures that they are good and they work well. So
And like
yes, I'm here
how you
for it.
said, just not, if not anything else, but to switch it up and try something new.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I totally agree with
And then
that.
our last question, do you think the whole ancient grain labeling is a marketing ploy, or do you kind of believe it or buy into it?
I think that everything can be a marketing ploy, honestly. But yeah, I mean, I think it is. But I think it's also it's a good, like I said, it's a good way to like try different things and to experience other, people's cuisines in this life. So
I agree.
definitely recommend.
So ancient grains, they're a little holistic. Maybe you're getting a little more protein and nutrients. They're not as processed. Maybe it's a marketing ploy, but either way, if you try out ancient grains, you're expanding your horizons and trying out other cultures and their cuisines, which is always nice. Okay. I think we agree
Exactly.
on that one for sure.
Absolutely.
Okay.
For sure.
Should we get into bops and
So,
flops?
let's do our bops and flops.
Okay, Jenna, what is your bop for this week?
Okay, so my bop this week is Chewy. Because, listen to this. Phoebe got diagnosed with a skin problem because, of course, she did.
Really?
Yeah, so she's allergic to chicken and
Oh,
fish.
okay,
So she's been eating like normal food
Ancient
or like weight
grains?
control food or whatever. Maybe, honestly. No, probably brown rice. But I had to get her this veterinary Royal Canin bleep blop bloop like novel food, novel meat for her. So she's on rabbit now and already she's doing so much better. But I had 24 cans of her food. I don't know where that accent just came. 24. I had 24 cans of her food and I emailed Chewy and I was like, "Hey, listen, like I have all these new cans of this food and it was like kind of expensive." I didn't say that to Chewy, but this is what I was thinking. And I was like, "Is it okay, like can I return these? Like they're unopened because I her prescription food was really expensive and I was like, I need to try to like see if I can return this other food because I'm like not rich." So Chewy emails back and they're like, "Hey Jenna, like we hope Phoebe's doing great." And I bought the prescription food from Chewy, so it's not like, they're winning. They're getting all my money. And they were like, "If you want to just go ahead and take that food to the animal shelter and donate it, and we're gonna refund your card."
Oh
And I was like, "Yeah!" So the money that I spent on her old food, I just ended up spending on her new food and more,
my God.
but then I didn't have to buy both the foods because they refunded me. And then I got to take all of this yummy, really nice cat food to the shelter and all the animals could eat
Chewy is
it.
such a good company that, yeah, they're amazing.
Yeah, they're great. And they hand wrote Phoebe a birthday card, which her birthday's coming up soon. It's very
That was
nice.
nice.
I like that company.
Chatterbox. Okay.
He
Yeah,
likes
he likes
Chewy too.
Chewy. Chewy is honestly great. They make everything really easy.
Yeah,
Yeah.
they're super nice. What's your bop?
My bop is dairy-free ice cream or frozen treat alternatives. Because I think, was this always so widely available in the past few weeks? I've had really delicious Dole Whip-like frozen treats where it's pineapple, coconut milk, all whipped together. I also tried this New Zealand type of ice cream that's just frozen yogurt or dairy-free ice cream plus frozen fruit, and it was really delicious. And I'm just thankful that a lot of places are doing more dairy-free like ice cream options.
You know what the best frozen
Ooh,
treat
which one?
is?
Which one?
Diana's
Is
bananas.
it a chocolate dip banana? What is it?
Yeah,
Yes.
it's
Oh
so
my God.
good.
I agree. Those are really good.
Diana and her
Banana.
banana girl, hit me
But
up, Diana.
yeah.
I love me some bananas from Diana. But yes, the non-dairy like sorbet ice creams, or even like or sorbet popsicles, or even like the it's not good for you, but the Van Leeuwen non-dairy ice cream is so good, but it's really bad for you. So don't eat the whole pint because it's not like Halo Top
Yeah.
or you'll get I get sick. Do what you want, but I get sick.
I just think there's so many more dairy-free ice creams now, even when you go to a shop.
Yeah, because we're all realizing that we can't
Yeah,
deal
we can't
with
handle the
dairy.
lactose. But yeah, thankful for delicious frozen treats that are dairy-free. Okay, what is your flop this week?
So my flop, much related to my bop, is skin allergies that come from meat
Yeah.
in animals. Why do our animals
I
suffer?
know.
I've heard of many a dog and kitty cat having like terrible skin issues from eating chicken or fish or turkey, which is like the most common in pet foods. So it really sucks. And if it weren't for Chewy, I would have had an insane vet bill on top of brand new food and having to like pretty much eat all the money that
Yeah.
I paid for her old food. But Chewy really saved the day. We better tag them in this episode.
Chewy.
But yeah, skin allergies for our sweet animals. Their little butts get all
Yeah.
inflamed and their little ears get all scritchy. It
Yeah.
sucks and I hate it. That's my
Yeah.
flop. What about you?
Let me tell you, I accidentally bought oil-free hummus.
What does
I
that
don't
mean?
know, but it was sitting right on top of the regular hummus, and I was so upset when I opened it and took a pita chip and tried to eat it because it was the texture of Play-Doh. It was really dense and gummy and weird, and it was so vile I had to throw it out. I could not even eat a bite.
Why do they even
I
make
know, I
that?
don't, maybe people who are trying to decrease their oil intake, or I have no idea, but it was grotesque.
Oh, because it's
I think
non-fat.
so.
Okay, then just don't eat
I know it
hummus.
was truly terrible. I could find it in my fridge and show you if you really wanted me to, but it's disgusting.
No, I don't want to. That's really
Yep.
gross.
So, do not get the oil-free hummus because it's gummy and weird.
I guess you could get it and then like control how much oil you add to it. That could be
I don't know
helpful.
if it would mix. That's how
Oh, you don't.
weird the texture
Do you
was.
need like an immersion
Yeah, it was
blender?
like thick,
Ooh,
really
okay.
weird.
All right, that's fair. That's
Yeah.
fair. All right, well, let us know if you know about oil-free hummus and
Ew.
why we use it. Chewy, go ahead and hit me up and
Seriously.
I will gladly be your
Same.
spokesperson. And you over there listening to this, talk to us on Instagram at Holistish. Email us at holistishpodcast dot wait, holistishpodcast@gmail.com. And we're on TikTok and we are in the street, so say hello.
Okay, until next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.